You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
Okay, let's have a little trivia time just to kind of catch up. If you're visiting with us, we're in the book of 1 Timothy. And so we are an expository preaching church, which means we walk through entirety of Scripture, complete books, complete passages, so that we get the full context and we know what God is trying to say, is saying to us. It helps us as we interpret Scripture better. And so, if you're visiting with us, we are walking through the entire book of 1 Timothy right now. So we have been in chapter 1 for several months, and we just started chapter 2. So let's have a little bit of time for trivia. AJ, Noah, you can't answer every question. Okay, I'm just going to say that right up front. Okay, so what book are we studying? I just gave that away. Cody, you can't either. What was that? 1 Timothy. Okay, very good. Who did God use to write this book? Paul. That's right. So God used Paul. All Scripture is God-breathed. We see that from Scripture as well. So we know that God inspired Paul, used Paul to write this book. Who was Paul writing to? Timothy. That's right. And who was Timothy? What was he? A young preacher, okay. Who had been Timothy's mentor? Paul. Okay, so Paul has sent Timothy. What church did Paul send Timothy to in this book? What church was it that he was going to? Ephesus, that's right. So he was in the church at Ephesus. Paul had sent him back. And why did Paul send him to this church? Because Paul had been at this church, Paul had preached at this church, had spent time with these people, and then had left them, and now Paul is sending Timothy back to them. Why did he do that? To correct error, that's right, to bring them back to proper order, to proper doctrine. They had gotten astray. They had gone away from the biblical teaching. They had gone away from the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul sends him back. In chapter 1, we see Paul begin, the introduction of this book, why he sent Timothy, gave his testimony. And then in chapter 2, last week, we see what Paul is beginning to establish. He's beginning to establish order in this church. And the first thing that he tells Timothy to establish is what? First of all, pray. First of all, pray. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 that we studied last week. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Timothy, go back to this church. This is an important church. They have gotten away from the correct doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring them back to being a gospel-centered church. First of all, Timothy, make sure the church is a praying church. Pray. As we see in Paul's letters in the New Testament, he always emphasized two main things, which was this: orthodoxy and orthopraxy. Orthodoxy is a big word, and it just simply means this: right, correct thinking, correct understanding of the doctrinal truths of the gospel. The church needs to know what the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ is. We need to be living it. We need to be studying it. We need to have the right thinking, the correct thinking. And then he also said, but then you must go out and practice it. You must have right practice, which is living out the gospel in our daily lives. And here in chapter 2, Paul says, first of all, church, you should be a praying church. We should be praying for all people. And I think it's interesting that this is the first thing that Paul emphasizes, the first thing that he says, Timothy, make sure they're doing this. If they're going to be a gospel-centered church, if they're going to be doing what the Bible says to do as a church, if we're going to be able to shine the light of the gospel into this lost world, then make sure they are a praying church. And I think it's interesting that prayer in the church usually gets shoved to the bottom of the priority list. Have you guys noticed that? In our own lives, not only corporately does prayer get shoved to the bottom, or prayer becomes kind of a filler, you know, between songs, or, you know, we need to pray before our potluck, or we need to, you know, make sure we pray before we start Sunday school. And it gets shoved kind of this bottom priority in our church. But not only does that happen in our church, but it also happens in our own lives. Prayer gets shoved to the bottom until something crazy happens. I'm like, oh my goodness, I better pray about this, but usually it's not part of our daily lives. When you look at church activities, the church is usually not setting record attendance in prayer groups. Have you noticed that? It's like pulling teeth. Could you please come and pray? We're going to have, I mean, usually we's like, hey, we're going skating tonight, which we are. Free pizza, yay. Let's go. Hey, guys, we're going to meet up at the church and pray. Yeah, well, let me check my calendar. I really got some important things I got to do at the house. Got to be start preparing for this next week. We're really tired. We start throwing out excuses. We're not usually setting record attendance for prayer at church. But we need to understand that the first thing that Paul says to Timothy is make sure the church is a praying church. If we are going to be a gospel-centered church, which is why we're walking through this book, because the leadership at East Point Church, we want to make sure we have a desire to be a gospel-centered church. If we're going to be a gospel-centered church, we must be a praying church. That's where the power is. That's where we seek God's face. That's where we pray about needs. That's where we pray about those who are lost. That's where we pray about people within our congregation, within our family, that they would come closer to Christ, or that God would heal them in their lives, that we would be protected, that we would see God change lives, that we would see the miracles of what God is doing, so that when we see what God does, we know it's God who did it because we prayed and sought his face. In my quiet time this week, I'm going back through a book from Oswald Chambers, and so I was reading, and this was a quote that he said, and it really convicted me, touched my heart, convicted me about discipline in my life, but also sin in my life. And this is what he said. He said this: if we are going to live as disciples of Jesus, we have to remember that all noble things are difficult. The Christian life is gloriously difficult. But the difficulty of it does not make us faint and cave in. It rouses us up to overcome. It takes a tremendous amount of discipline to live the noble life of a disciple of Jesus in actual things. Living out the truth of Scripture is not easy. But Christ in us gives us what we need to live out our faith. We don't cower and become scared. It brings us up. Christ in us gives us what we need to live out our faith. We have what we need. We have what we need to be a praying people. We have what we need to be a praying church. But we must also partner alongside the Holy Spirit. Prayer is not easy. It takes discipline. Doing the noble things of what it means to be a disciple of Christ is not easy. It is difficult. We can say, I've got Christ in us, but we can still be sitting on our couch binging on Netflix, right? And if there's a prayer time, or if we feel like we need to pray, we still have to say, I've got to get up. I've got to turn that off, or I've got to change the priorities in my life. If I'm going to be a praying person of Christ, if I'm going to be a part of a praying church, the church at Ephesus had lost their way. They needed to turn back to being centered on God's word. They needed to be reminded and taught correct doctrine, and they needed to live out their faith in a lost world. And so what Paul says, he says, first of all, if you're going to be a gospel-centered church, first of all, pray, and pray for all people. Pray for all people to be saved. Pray for your leaders. Live a peaceful, quiet, and godly life. And so this morning, as we continue in these next couple of verses, we ask the question, so why should we pray for all people? Why is this the first thing that Paul tells us to do as a gospel-centered church? Why are we to pray for all people? Why should the church pray for the lost? And so what Paul does is he gives us reasons that we are to pray in these next few verses. So look in your Bibles. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4 this morning. Why should we be a praying church? Why should we pray for all people? Why should we pray for the lost to come to know Jesus? Verse 3 says this, because this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let me read that again. Paul says, first of all, pray. Pray for all people. Why? Because it is good. It is pleasing in every way. This is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the first reason that we see, the first thing that we see in verse 3 and 4 is this. Praying for the lost is right and pleasing to God. Why are we to pray? Why are we to be a praying church? Why should we take our prayer list? Why should we show up and gather together and pray? Why should we meet before a service and pray? Why should we gather as individuals or in community groups and pray? Why should we do this? Because it is right and it is pleasing to God. This word, this, that first word in verse 3, this is good. This refers us back to verse 1. Why do we do this? Pray for all people. Why? Because this is good. It is pleasing to God, our Savior. The church praying for the lost is the right thing to do. It is the noble thing to do. What did Oswald Chambers say about the noble things? It's difficult, right? It's going to be difficult. Doing the right thing is difficult, but we have everything we need. We have the power of Jesus Christ in us if we're believers in Christ. If we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we have Christ in us. We have what we need to do the difficult things of being a disciple of Jesus. Last week, I preached on these two verses. And then we dismissed, and we went to lunch, and my family, we ate, and then we began our drive home. And, you know, we had been talking about we needed to pray for the lost. We needed to bring hope to this lost world. And so after lunch, we were driving home, and at one of the corners, we saw a family. We saw a mom and two older boys, and they had a sign up for help. And my wife, she's awesome. I mean, she's awesome because what she does is she helps me. She spurs me on to be who I need to be in Christ. And we've been married over 20 years, so she's mastered how to talk to me in a very delicate way. So we saw this family, and you know, we had just been talking and preaching about bringing hope and praying for the lost. And so we see this family, and she just calmly turns to me and says, "So what are we going to do about this?" So I looked at her and I said, well, I guess I'm going to turn the van around and we're going to go talk to these people. So we did. We went around a loop and came back and stopped the van, and one of the boys came over to the car and we talked to him for a while, and then we prayed for him and we shared the gospel with him, at least enough to give him hope that there was hope in Jesus. That wasn't easy. It definitely wasn't convenient. And some of the first thoughts in my mind as your pastor is, I got to get my son to basketball camp. We got to get all the way to Shawnee in 45 minutes. And my wife, hey, what are we going to do about this? We needed to pray for him. We needed to do the difficult thing. Praying for the lost is the right thing to do.